All right, you can be opening your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 8. Here in just a moment, we'll be in Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. So you might want to be opening your Bibles up there. Or you're finding it on your mobile device, whatever the case may be. This is our last sermon in this series that we've called Be Courageous. Where we're going to be going next week is into a new series that we're going to call All In. And the idea of that sermon series is that when we say that Jesus is Lord and we are going to be disciples of His, it means that we are all in. It means that we give our lives completely over to Him. Every area of our life, we give over to Him. So that's where we're going starting next week in a series called All In. But today we are going to conclude our series in our Be Courageous sermon series, and we are going to talk about the courage to endure hardship. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, a passage that many of us that are familiar with church and have been to church for some time probably know this story. For some of you here today, it may be the first time that you've heard this story. Either way, here it is. Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. Then he, Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boats. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for times like this, when we can come together as your people to worship you, to honor you for who you are. Father, today as we think about this story in Matthew chapter 8, it's our prayer that our hearts and our minds can be wide open to you so that your word can do its transforming work in our lives as we seek to be the kind of people that you have called us to be. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a couple that each night pray, "God, we desire a baby. Please bring us the gift of a child." They pray and they pray. And the storm rages on as day after day that prayer isn't answered. There's a woman that has for 45 years gone to bed with her best friend. And this day is different than all of those other days for the last 45 years. Because this night she goes to bed alone. And the thunder crashes. There's a family that cries out to God, "Save us." It seems as if the storm clouds just sit right over their family as they get one piece of bad news after another. The rain comes down so hard on them. There's a couple that sits in a counselor's office and they talk about their marriage. They talk about whether they are going to be able to stay a married couple, to stay true to that covenant they made before God and before others. And one of them says, "I'm done." And the storm continues to pound these folks. Someone sits in a doctor's office, nervous about what the doctor is about to say, fearing the worst, of course, and that doctor walks into the room and says that word that they were so scared the doctor was going to say. It's cancer. And you feel the storm bring its pressure on life. We all know storms in one way or another. Some of us may be in the midst of a storm right now. For some of us, thankfully, the storm is in the rear view mirror and we're giving thanks to God for what He did in the midst of the storm. For some of us, we haven't felt the power of the storm yet, but we know that it's coming. And of course, we watch the news, right? And we know that there are people all around us that are feeling the storm in a huge way as we see what's taking place at other places in the world, the violence, the harm that's being done. And we know that there are God's people right now that are feeling the pressure of the storm. There are people in our own backyard that are feeling the pressure of the storm. There are people in this room right now that are feeling the pressure of the storm. And in the midst of the storm, we come to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. We're told that Jesus got in the boat, and the disciples followed them into the boat. These disciples had come to love Jesus. They'd come to just kind of hang on every word that He said. And so they follow Him naturally into the boat, ready to go watch Him do His thing, ready to learn more about what it means to be a follower of His. And so they get into the boat with Jesus. Now, many of these disciples likely were fishermen, right? We know that from Matthew's gospel and the other gospel accounts. They'd been in a boat before, and likely they had been in a storm in a boat before. But something about this storm was different. Something about it was more powerful. They may have even been in one of the disciples' boat, and so this was not new territory for these disciples. Of course, Mark's gospel tells us that it was nighttime when they got into the boat. Maybe that was unfamiliar territory for them. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they often fished at night. We don't know, but this story is different. We're told that a furious storm came up on the lake. The storm was so furious that Matthew tells us that the waves swept over the boat. And in the midst of this storm, however, we're told that Jesus was sleeping. What is that about? Was this a boat that had two decks and He was in the lower deck, just not feeling the power of the storm? Was He able just to kind of huddle down at the front or the back of the boat? We don't know. We do know that Jesus was tirelessly going around preaching and healing people. And so maybe this is a window into the human side of Jesus. Jesus was 100% human, 100% God. Maybe He was tired, so tired, in fact, that this moment, even with what was going on around the boat, He was able to sleep. We don't know. Matthew tells us that Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." As we've already said, this was probably not unfamiliar territory for these disciples. They'd been in a boat before. But the storm was so furious that they went to Jesus and said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Now, these disciples, they knew Jesus well, right? In Matthew 8 alone, we're told about how Jesus had healed the servant of the centurion. We're told about how Jesus had exorcised demons from demon-possessed people. We're told about how He healed Peter's mother-in-law. So they knew who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, in the midst of this storm, they turned to Jesus. That is the right place to turn, right? They turned to Him and said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." But notice how Jesus replies to the disciples. He says, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" And you have to wonder if the disciples said, Jesus, I know you're sleeping, but I don't know, now that you're awake, maybe you can notice that there's a storm and it's bad and the waters are coming into the boat. The water's supposed to be on the outside of the boat, but now it's on the inside of the boat. This is bad news. I don't know if that's what they said or what they were thinking, but Jesus replies in this way. And we're not surprised by this, right? We see the Messiah respond in this kind of way often. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? So Jesus says, you have little faith. Even though at the beginning of the story, these are the men, these are the people that follow Jesus into the boat. They're demonstrating that they believe this preacher, believe this Savior. And now, in the midst of the storm, Jesus says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Apparently, what Jesus is doing is connecting their little faith with their fear. They're equating the two. As we've already said, the disciples had already come to know Jesus well. And apparently, as Jesus was processing this, as Jesus was interacting with the disciples, the truth that they knew Jesus well should have informed their feelings about what was taking place in their life right then and there. They had already seen the power of Jesus demonstrated, his lordship, his authority, his power. And so maybe that's why Jesus can say, you of little faith, don't you know me? Haven't you seen me work? Do you not understand the kind of power that I have? Either way, Jesus says, why are you so afraid, disciples? Let's continue on. He goes on then and says, first of all, we got to see this. He goes on and it says, Matthew says in the end of verse 26, he says, then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm before. One time that I was in a storm, it was kind of a weird occasion. My parents lived amongst fields, just cornfields and soybean fields around them. And they had a pond where we could go swimming and stuff. And we had all kinds of like toys on that pond. The winds were so strong in that storm that it started to blow all of these rafts and stuff all around the fields. I mean, just going all over the place, sailing in the air. The wind was so strong. And so all of us kids started running to go pick up the different toys that were on the pond that were blowing around. As I was running through a field trying to get this inner tube, there was lightning that I know it was probably about a quarter mile away, but in the moment it felt like it was 25 yards away. And so I'm running and there's just lightning all over the place, and I was seriously scared for my life. And after a while, I just gave up on the inner tube. It just was blowing through the field, and I just said, it's not worth it. Not worth it at all. It was fun, but not worth it. And so I went running back to the house. Got back to the house, and I had never, at least I was only 12 at the time, but I had never felt such peace in my life. The storm was raging on, but at that moment, I was like, yes, I'm alive. I survived it. Maybe that's a little bit of what the disciples were feeling when the situation went from complete chaos to peace. Just like that, Jesus looks out over the storm and he says, peace, be still. That's the Savior that we serve. That's the one that we have given our lives to. The one that can look over the winds and the waves and just with a word, peace, be still, and complete calmness over the storm. It stopped like that. That is the one that we give our allegiance to. He has that kind of power. And so it doesn't surprise us at all what the disciples respond with. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? And here's the truth with Jesus. When you encounter Jesus, like the disciples encountered in this story in Matthew chapter 8, it's demanded of us that we respond in some way. It's demanded of us that we respond in some way. And so they recognize, what kind of man is this? They recognize this is Jesus with all authority and power. And we ask ourselves the question, what kind of person am I? You see, you can either recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ, the authority that he has. You can recognize it and bow to him, giving your life over to him. Or you can choose to turn your back and go the other direction. You see, when you encounter Jesus Christ, it's demanded of you to respond in one way or another. Either you recognize him as Lord or you don't. And so all of us, as we encounter Jesus Christ, we have to ask the question, what kind of person am I? And Jesus had already asked them, or said to him, said to these disciples, something about their character, their identity, who they were, right? They were with Jesus, and Jesus says, why are you so afraid? You of little faith. You see, the truth of the matter is that Jesus was in the boat with them at a time, should have changed everything for them. Were they in a storm? Yes. Were they in a storm with Jesus Christ? Yes. Therefore, there was hope. Therefore, there was the potential for rescuing. So the disciples say, what kind of man is this? And it moves us to ask ourselves the question, what kind of person am I? Remember in Matthew chapter 1, when Jesus comes to the earth, born to Mary, we're told that his name was to be Emmanuel, God with us. So in Jesus Christ, God was dwelling with humankind. And here's the cool thing about it. It's in the storms, it's in the good times, no matter what, he's with us. And so as we feel the power of the storm, the truth is that Jesus Christ is with us, and that brings us all kinds of hope. Let's move on to the next screen. That he's with us at least should bring us some perspective. Here are sort of three things that I want to throw out there as reminders to us as we reflect on the truth that God is with us in the midst of the storm. The first is that he can calm the storm. The disciples asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves can obey him. He can calm the storms. The second thing is this, and this is in the midst of the storms. When we're with him, we know our purpose. When we are connected with him, when we are serving him, living for him, we understand what we're to be about. And so people can go through the midst of storms, like Kent Brantley with the Ebola. He can be in the midst of that kind of catastrophic type of storm, and yet he can say, through this, my prayer is that God can be glorified. So in the storms, when we remain with Jesus, understanding that he is with us, we stay true to our purpose. And so no matter what, storms or no clouds in the sky, we can know what we're to be about in this life. And then finally, he comforts us in the storm. The truth is that Jesus knew storms really well. Things like going to the cross, things like being beaten, things like being insulted. He knew pain. The Hebrews writer talks about that. Jesus was tempted. He understood what life was about. He knows storms. And he can comfort us through that, through the power of God working in him and working in us. This is an observation. I think a lot of times we treat Jesus like we do animals in the zoo. Okay, work with me on this, okay? Work with me. So we go to the zoo, right? And we walk through and we look at all of these animals and stuff. And we can be standing 20 feet from a lion. I mean, an animal that could kill us like a second if it weren't for a fence. And we walk through and we're standing 35 yards from a giraffe, a huge animal like a giraffe. We're walking, I'm like, man, I'm really thirsty right now. When a giraffe is 35 yards away, a giraffe, you know, looking at hippos and stuff, and we're like, you know what, I'm kind of bored. This seemed like a good idea, but it's really hot out right now. You know, we do that kind of stuff. We go and we look at tigers, and we're like, oh, those are pretty cool. I really wanted to go see the rabbits. It's like, there's rabbits in our front yard, you know? But we treat Jesus like this. And here's what I mean by it. So we're standing that close to lions, standing that close to giraffes, standing that close to tigers. But a lot of times what we do is we take the power away from who he is and what he can do. And we go, yeah, Jesus is pretty powerful, but we don't open our lives up to him. So we go on our way and we just say, well, I've got things to do. I've got my priorities in line. I can take care of all of this. All that's fine. I can handle the storms of life. And the whole time we see that there's Jesus Christ ready just to invade our lives and bring us perspective, bring us life, bring us hope. And we just move on with our lives on our own. And we just kind of put him behind a fence and say, well, at sometime I might need you. But right now it's just kind of cool to look at you. And I'm just going to kind of move on my way. Have we invited him into our lives? I believe it will change the way that we approach storms. He's with us. He calms us. He provides perspective for us. And he's the one that the disciples said, even the winds and the waves obey. Now, I need to say this and we'll be done. We're going to look at one more passage in Romans chapter 8. Storms come. And I don't know all the ins and outs of why storms come. You read a book like Job, it's all about storms. And you're like, what just happened? Why did that happen? And so I do not want to make light of your storms. There are things that you have experienced, storms that you've been through that I can never fathom. I can never appreciate the kind of pain, confusion, and hurt that you've had. The word that I want to provide for you today is this. Jesus is with you in the storm. That's what I can offer you today. Jesus is with you in the storm. We're going to read one passage from Romans chapter 8. And I ask that we all stand as I read this passage from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35-39. It says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." We're going to allow the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8, verses 35-39 to conclude our sermon this morning. Here in a moment, Daryl's going to lead us in a song. If there's anybody here this morning that is ready to put the Lord on in baptism, to make that decision to have him be Lord of your life, we'd be so glad to assist you in that baptism and to witness you come to Christ. We would rejoice with the angels with you making that decision. If there's anybody here this morning that desires the prayers of this assembly, we cannot say it enough. We seek to bear each other's burdens. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now. as we stand and sing this song together.